So here we are, you're listening to, and we are on the air with WGXC 90.7 FM Acra, and I have a studio full of many warm bodies who just, well, we just performed a composition, and I would like to speak with everyone about what it is we just did. Those who would like to speak with me as well. We had a workshop this afternoon. Is there anything in particular that anyone sort of pulled out of the workshop that they felt was pretty rad, or was it just terrible?
It was pretty terrible.
Yeah? Yeah, you didn't enjoy it at all.
No, it was good.
It was good? Make sure to speak in the mic when you go for it. So what we did is we went over scores, we talked about graphical interpretation and a lot about improvisation. How many people in the room would consider themselves to be musicians? One, two, just three, four.
Sure.
Yeah. We had musicians and non-musicians, and what's interesting about improvisation is it's open to anyone, and what you do with it or what it does or where it goes depends on what everyone brings to the table. So everyone brought a different aspect. Does anyone want to talk about their intervention in the piece or piece as a whole?
Yeah, sure. I found it interesting to bring people of all sorts of levels of musicianship and non-musicianship to be able to perform in the same space using predetermined instruments and a graphical score that you can sort of understand. Instead of giving someone a trumpet or drum set or something, you say play something. Using sound, it's easily translatable to a large amount of people.
I think in keeping with what Andy just said, I think we had a couple of very young ladies participating that stole the show today, and it seemed pretty in step with the spirit of experience not mattering and not overthinking this stuff too much, and I think it all came together great.
Yeah, that was Quinn and Maddie, who do a show here on WGXC, a book review show, and I think that they were phenomenal playing the AM radio, the slide flute, and the snare. Well, a piece of snare. I think they did a really great job and kind of went with it. It was a nice moment. It was one of the quieter moments, calmer moments in the piece. And anyone else want to share their interactions, interventions? It's a silent studio.
No, I also would like to add that, getting all of these people to perform sort of just on a whim. We came in at 1 o'clock or whatever it was, and we sat down for 2 hours not knowing each other. Half the people in the studio didn't have the headphones on as they were performing, so we had to sort of trust each other and trust the composer to control all that sound, which did a phenomenal job.
Congratulations, AJ. Thank you.
And so that was, I think it came together quite nicely.
Yeah, and I think we all just a big thanks to AJ. It was a great piece, and thanks for giving us some sort of framework.
Thank you.
We hope it was successful.
I feel like it was successful. I feel like everyone was able to contribute something to the piece, and we were, we had a structure to start off with, so we knew kind of what shape we were going to create, but we didn't quite know exactly what kind of sounds were going to interact and how things were going to work together. I was a little nervous back here just to make sure that I would get everybody's sound up at the right time and to make sure that we were all on cue, so to speak. Interpreting graphical scores is something that isn't necessarily easy if you have not had the time to really go over it, to practice it. It was very kind of like a free improv based on a particular structure, right?
AJ, I was really inspired by the concept behind the graphical score. We spent a few hours before playing the piece in which you explained the inspiration for the graphical score. Could you explain to people what a graphical score is for those who don't know, and and also talk about where your score comes from?
Oh, wow. Suddenly I'm on the spot. The inspiration for the graphical score was, well, ultimately I've never made one. A graphical score is a visual representation. It can include elements of notation. It can be super abstract. It can be just a word on a page. It can be a drawing. It can tell you exactly sort of what's happening, but not in a traditional musical jargon, so to speak, where it's not notation. And anyone can generally play a graphical score that is intended for general use. It can be used across different mediums. And I had never actually made one that other people have performed. And so it was a struggle to figure out what would be the easiest thing to understand, because everybody's perceptions are so different. Everybody comes from different backgrounds. So creating something that is easy to understand and easy to interpret. So I created three different structures to sort of see different ways of interpreting this particular piece, which was based on the I Ching hexagram 51, which is thunder, essentially. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll make sound recordings of storms and have those play in the background, and anytime thunder occurs, it could be a sort of element that would signal that it's time to change into something else. But then thunderstorm recordings with the equipment I have are not particularly friendly to the ear, nor do they actually sound like rain or thunder. They just sound like bad frequencies. You have to have been there to know that that's what it was. So instead I looked at two different storm waveforms and drew the amplitude curve, so the volume curve. So anytime there was like big peaks, I'd draw a peak, and every time there was just like kind of like a stable line, I would draw just a straight line. And then I knew what I wanted to incorporate into the performance and into the composition, so what elements I wanted to bring into it. And so I decided that anything that was more of a peak would be percussive, and anything that would be more flat would be a little bit more subtle. And I knew I wanted to have the radios outside, and we can kind of hear the crickets right now. Oh yes, there they are. The radios are no longer broadcasting anything. But I wasn't sure exactly how it would work out. I tried a bunch of things. I thought maybe like drawing sticks would decide what went well together, what wouldn't go together. But I kept it a little bit more simple and just chose what elements. I think it could be structured in any way. And obviously the loudest part would be the thunderous part of the storm, which Brian did a fantastic job on the sheet metal outside. Really, really went at it. It was pretty impressive.
Good job, Brian.
Thank you.
Good job, Brian.
Thanks.
And I suppose that's how I came to making this graphical score.
I do have one question about the choice of instrumentation. Was that random? Or was it half random, half I really want an electronic arpeggiator mixed with an LP, mixed with a slide whistle? Or
It was based on accessibility,
okay,
of certain objects. And also the reason why I had the LP with the tones is particularly because it's windy out there. Particularly because Cage used similar LPs in the creation of some work, and I seemed to have one on hand and wanted to incorporate that as an element, obviously using it in a completely different way. The percussive elements that I had was, you know, I asked Galen if they had any cymbals or any percussion, and given the great response of, oh, we have a lot of sheet metal lying around, you could use that. And I was like, great. So the metal balls I've used in the past, I really like the resonance. So stuff that I have, just repurposing any kind of object. The arpeggiator came in at the end to kind of replace the cacophony of telephone tones. And the voice stuff is something that voice comes out, is transmitted the best through broadcast medium, and so I wanted to incorporate stuff like that, and had done a transmission piece in the past where we did voice work and it worked out really well. It was what came out the clearest. Things like noisier sounds do not come out very well over short-range broadcast systems.
To get back to the visual score, I think when a lot of people hear this type of music or sound art, whatever they want to call it, to a lot of people, it's not that accessible. A lot of people won't run to it like they will to Bruce Springsteen or something like that, that they can kind of get into on the first beat. But then when you find out that the whole thing is anchored with such a simple but powerful concept like a thunderstorm, you can kind of root it back into something that anybody of any age can sink their teeth into and say, where does a thunderstorm take me? What movements does it make? How can we make an artificial sonic version of that thunderstorm? And it takes this incredibly abstract sounding huge piece and just brings it to this place of simplicity where you barely even have to think and it just kind of comes out together. Mm-hmm. And that was great.
Thank you. I think nature sounds are something that do inspire people to create music, and a lot of like classical compositions are based on different season stuff. There's a really great Wendy Carlos LP that's like sonic seasonings, and it's different seasons of like electronic synthesizer music, which we might hear a little bit later on in the program. I want to ask you two gentlemen to tell us about a little bit about what kind of music you guys are making.
I guess, like, I kind of hate the term, but IDM, intelligent dance music, and then, I don't know, a lot of stuff, some drum and bass, breakcore, I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, what we're very interested in is, like, all... we're interested in this sort of like John Cage, avant-garde, contemporary classical music, but we're also influenced by like these like late 90s British, I guess, electronic musicians and
Aphex Twin, Boards of Canada, Odd Tech Ray,
and
etc.
And they were. In turn, they were inspired by contemporary music too. So it's like, it's kind of horrible though that like, what comes out is this like, it feels so much more accessible than contemporary and less smart, I guess, than contemporary music. It's so much more like self-indulgent, I guess. But it's interesting because that something like that can be. Inspired, but I guess electronic music in general is like
it's all traced back to
everything. Yeah, every aspect of it, every aspect of music before inspires electronic music in general. And it, and what was I gonna say? The idea that with electronics you can attain and reproduce or modify any sound in any way that you feel is necessary in like with a limitless you have tools that are just limitless, so I guess
a limitless sonic palette.
Yeah,
it's like the name of the new track, I guess. The limitless sonic palette. How does your practice in developing or creating tracks differ from this, what you did today?
Probably it's more repetitive. I don't know. I mean,
the way we've been doing it is in this case you have these instruments and you're being inspired by a graphical score that you had set up or you're improvising, And in the, I guess, the more like electronic music, more accessible realm, you'd be being inspired by the tools that you have on your computer or the hardware that you're utilizing. So I guess,
yeah. I mean, usually it's just the, I guess, inspiration for our tracks just come from, like, dabbling with equipment or software, or just taking, you know, a beat and chopping it up until they get something interesting. I mean, yeah.
I think that as a process, I mean, mine doesn't differ very much from what you just said, is that you take this equipment and you noodle around with it until you reach a certain phase or mm-hmm. moment that really resonates with you, and then you go with that and develop it. It's, I think, ways that many people compose, not necessarily, I mean, the instance of people who are composing for paper is a lot lower than it was, because the tools for production are in your hands. I mean, you guys are in a band as well.
Yeah, Brachiosaurus. We're a noise psychedelic rock band, so it's great. We have a good time.
No buzz marketing your band.
I'm not buzz marketing. But I, as a composer, when I come from a classical background, and then moved into sound design. And what I found was, when I tried to synthesize things to sound organic, it was very difficult, and it took away from the creative process. So I kind of reversed that and got into sampling, where I would do things like record the crickets that you're listening to now, and then, you know, slice that up, run it through a number of processors, and, you know, that was your electroacoustic explanation from earlier today, where you take a recorded sound and manipulate it so you can't really understand it. Then I was... Yeah.
He tends to do all of that over my 3-chord rock, so that's kind of how we work.
Something like that.
Very, very nice. I have two very quiet people in the studio who aren't really into... aren't necessarily into the talking on the microphone, but do you guys have any impressions? You're both non-musicians, right?
Yeah, I played flute when I was 11, so that's about as far as my musical background goes. So I think Michelle and I were both pretty nervous about coming in today, but we had a really great time. And I think seeing like the graphical score was really exciting for us, and I don't know, I found it really interesting to try and, like, compose music from that. And I think definitely the idea of a thunderstorm is really exciting, and it's something that everyone, like, relates to in a fundamental part of themselves. For me, it's like remembering being a kid and terrified of the storms, and you still get those feelings when you hear a storm now, I think. So I think we both really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I have to say that as an interior designer by profession, I use a tape measure almost on a daily basis, but today I got to play one, so that was pretty exciting, and I've never done that before, and I'm going to go back to work and make some sounds. Yeah,
I like that. That's why you jumped on it. You were like, I'll take the tape measure. Yeah. I know what that is.
Absolutely.
I know how to use
it. I mean,
that.
I seriously use it every day, but I never thought I could whip it around and make fantastic sounds.
That's how we broke every tape measure in my home as a child, and my dad would just buy a new one, and it would be, well, generally we were just pulling it out to its full length and then dragging it around the yard, but that was pretty much how they all died. Any other comments or questions or queries before we go to a musical pause? Thanks so much. I mean, some of you are locally based. Where are you guys from?
New Paltz.
Newport.
New
yes.
Paltz.
New Paltz with a Z.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Hudson.
Hudson.
I'm from Hudson.
Okay. No, we're all coming from Astoria, Queens.
Astoria, Queens. You made the drive all the way just to be with us today. And thanks so much for helping us perform this piece. Thanks to Free 103.9 for having me here and allowing me to colonize the studio with so many bodies and territorialize the airwaves of WGXC 90.7 FM with these sounds.